I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have on my heart to share with you a little bit of my testimony. I had the privilege of becoming a child of God when I was 3 years old. My daddy says that I cried and I said I want to be a child of God. And I heard the gospel about being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ when I was very small. And from a young age, I, you know, loved God and I believed I was a child of God. But then when I was about seven, we came to a place where we stayed for many years, where we were taught that in order to be accepted by God and to receive forgiveness of sin, we had to have to confess our sin to a counselor. And that is then the life that I then lived for many years, a life of, you know, failing and then getting depressed because of it, and then waiting to see my counselor confess my sin. Then I'd feel better for a little while until the next wrong thing happened, like a wrong thought came into my mind, and then immediately I'd be under condemnation and often even suffering of depression, and then, you know, go till I've seen my counselor to get a little bit of peace again. But it was a cycle that I lived in for years without, you know, without victory, without assurance of salvation, hating myself. And then, by God's grace, I came across a book. Book of written by Watchman Nee called The Normal Christian Life. And in this book I read the truths of God's word, the truth of the gospel, that we receive forgiveness and victory over sin by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the secret to victory over sin is abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, believing what he has done for me, believing in who I am through what he's done for me, that I am a new creature, and abiding in that. And friends, that is what really helped me. And over the years, I've gotten to, by God's grace, know God more and more, gotten to know more and more of God's truth. And it's been quite amazing to me, you know, as I've been studying God's word. You know, one of the favorite texts there where I grew up was John 7 verse 37, which actually has the whole answer to my problem. But even though the text was often read, but it was never explained. And that's the one that says, if anyone first on that last and greatest day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood up and he shouted and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture have said, streams of living water will flow from his innermost being. And he said that of the spirit that the people would receive who believed in him. Now, what is interesting, this text would be read there, and then a sermon would be preached, which boiled down to having to confess one's sins. But that's not what the text said or says. It says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus, as the scriptures have said, then we will have streams of living water. And friends, what do the scriptures say? The scriptures say, and one of my favorites is Ephesians chapter 1. But just by the way, if you read Paul's letters, you'll see he always starts with the gospel message, or just about always. That's what he starts off with. He tells people what they have and who they are in Christ Jesus. What we have as a gift, without any works, without having to do anything, by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is what the Lord Jesus himself preached. They asked him, "What must we do to do the works of the Father?" And the Lord Jesus replied, "The works of the Father is this, that you believe in the one that he has sent." When Nicodemus asked, "What must one do to be born again?" the Lord Jesus said, "Just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert by Moses, the same way the Son of Man will be lifted up, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life." Basically saying that a similar way as the people who were struck by snakes couldn't do anything to save themselves, they were going to die, but they simply had to look up to the serpent of copper and believe, and their lives would be spared. And in the same way, friends, it is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, and that just as a gift. Ephesians 2, about verse 6 or 8, it says that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, that no one can boast. And then coming back to Ephesians 1, it coincides with what Paul says in so many of his letters about who we are, what we have in Christ Jesus, by simply just believing in him. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it says to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, which in many translations actually says to the saints in Ephesus, the believers in Christ Jesus, which tells us that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the saints. And he confirms it when he continues, where he says from verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So by just believing in him, as he confirms again in Ephesians 2, we receive every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." So we are chosen by believing in him. We are chosen even before the creation of the world. And we were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. So we are adopted as sons, as children of God through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. You see, he has given it freely to us in the one he loves. So through Christ Jesus, what Christ Jesus did, we were given that freely. Freely we were given to be children of God, as the Lord Jesus also confirmed in John chapter 1, verse 12. I think verse 10 it says, "He came to his own, but his own received him not. But to all who have received him, he gave the power to be sons of God," or children of God, "and those born not by the will of a man, but born by the Spirit of God." So it is by accepting him through faith, putting our trust in him, believing in him, that we are made children of God. And friends, that the Bible is just so full of that message. If we continue in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." You see, he gave it to us for free. He lavished it on us, redemption, forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You see, friends, if we believe, if we have believed, if we've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, if we have believed that he died for me, and that he rose from the dead for me, and we accept it in faith, friends, then we have received the Holy Spirit. Then we receive the Holy Spirit as he promised. John 7 verse 37, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from his innermost being. And he said that about the Spirit that those would receive. Friends, by believing we receive the Holy Spirit, who is the seal guaranteeing our inheritance. He is the one who works in us to do and to will what is pleasing to God. He who started the good work will bring it to completion. In Romans 8 it says, we have not received the spirit of slavery to fear again, but the spirit by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And if we are children, then we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Friends, we have not received a spirit to fear again, a spirit of slavery. In John, 1 John, it says that if we have been born of God's Spirit, we will not want to sin. We will want not to sin because God's Spirit is in us. And then it says in 1 John chapter 4 that this is love, that God loved us, not that we loved him but that he loved us first. And because he loved us first, we love him. And then it says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Friend, when we are children of God, we do not have to fear punishment. We do not have to fear hell. We've got a loving Father who lovingly disciplines us, who lovingly corrects us. He, friends, who started the good work will bring it to completion in us. We can trust him. Friends, that the words clearly says there is therefore, now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8. And then if you read further on, it says, who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. More than that, it is the Lord Jesus who died for us, and who was also raised, and who is interceding for us. Friends, this gospel is so glorious. The hope that we have, how much we are loved, how secure we are. Friends, no one, as the Lord Jesus said, no one can take you out of my hand. And then in Romans 8 it says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Tribulation or hardship, life or death, angels or demons, nothing can separate us from that love which is in Christ Jesus. So friends, I just had on my heart to share that with you, because maybe you, like just like me, grew up or have been exposed to teachings where you were taught to labor, you know, to be acceptable to God. You were, and you have been trying and you have been failing, and you have been depressed, maybe just like me. Friends, the gospel is the good news that when Christ Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is complete," it was complete. Our salvation was completed. And when he died, that curtain that separated us from God was torn, a thick curtain hanging in the temple. Before that, the high priest could only go in once a year, and he would go in with fear and trembling, and they had a rope tied around him so that in case he died, and he first had to sacrifice for his own sin before going in to sacrifice for the people. But in Hebrews it says that the Lord Jesus didn't have to sacrifice for his own, but he sacrificed for ours. And friends, that curtain tore. No other sacrifice is needed anymore. We do not have to fear. And in the end of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, now we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, because we have a high priest who was tempted just like us, and yet he never sinned, but he has compassion on us. He knows what it is to be tempted, friends. And we can go boldly to his throne of grace to receive mercy, grace in our time of need. Friends, he is our high priest. We do not need a other human mediator. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know God as our heavenly Father, as our Father, and we can go boldly to him. Friends, no fear needed anymore. We have not received a spirit of fear. We are no longer slaves, but we are children of God. We are no longer under that old covenant that we read again in Hebrews chapter 4. That old covenant, which the people were like slaves. And it speaks about Ishmael and Isaac, how Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And it says those two symbolizes those two covenants. The one is of the Mount Sinai, those who live, friends, under fear and slavery. But Isaac represents those of promise, those who believe the promises of God and receive being a child of God as a gift without having to labor like slaves. Friends, that is the glorious gospel, friend, that I would like to share with you, that changed my life. That changed my life, that I can now know that I am a child of God. I have received forgiveness. I've received victory over sin as a gift. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. And then in Galatians 2 verse 20, it says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in him who gave himself for me. Friend, that is what I desire for you. And, you know, I pray that God would help me also to hold on to this. Because, you know, years of having been, I can nearly say brainwashed with other doctrines, other false teachings, has caused me, you know, to sometimes battle, to tend to want to fall back into wanting to live by striving in the flesh, wanting to live under law. And then Paul says that just gives strength to the flesh, because the law that says don't do actually causes you to want to do. But when we live in freedom as in Christ Jesus, it says in Galatians, it's not circumcision or not circumcision, but it is faith working through love. Friends, when we have put our faith in him, know I am forgiven. Know I am his child. Know I have been crucified with him, and I no longer live. It's him who lives in me. When I believe it, friends, and then I love him because he loved me first and he gave me all of this as a gift. Friends, then I just want to please him, and then I have the power to please him. May God help us. May God help me that we would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the scriptures have said. Friends, when we do that, the streams of living water will flow from our innermost being. It's then that we will have the fruit of the Spirit. Very interesting. The fruit of the Spirit is firstly love, then joy and peace. Then there's things like self-control, goodness, kindness, which are all also important. But when we receive the Spirit of God, the first thing we have is love. Love for him, love for our neighbor, and we have joy and peace. Friends, if we are living under condemnation, if we are living under fear, friends, there's a problem with what we are believing. It is not God's will that we should live under fear. What brings about fear is when we live as slaves under the old covenant, thinking that we need to perform to be acceptable with God. In the new covenant, we are accepted by simply being children of God, which we become by believing. You know, when the Lord Jesus was baptized, he hadn't done any of his ministry yet. He was at the beginning of his ministry. But the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son," or "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." He had just been baptized. And by the way, baptism is something that is meant to happen when we start our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as we have put our faith in him, then we are baptized to symbolize that I believe that I have died with him and have been raised with him, which happens the very moment I believe, not after striving for many years. No, I receive it as a gift. The moment I believe, I have died with him. My sins are taken away. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And friends, the Lord Jesus was baptized as an example to us. And the moment he was baptized, the voice said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." The same happens when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become children, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and he is well pleased with us, and he loves us before we have done even one thing, simply because he who knew no sin, which is the Lord Jesus, became sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The moment we believe, we become children. And because we are children of God, he loves us and he is well pleased with us. And friend, when we are born, we are like a little child. We still have to mature. We might still be dirtying our nappies. But our daddy is well pleased with us. And he, like a good parent, he cleans that nappy. And of course, when we are born, we will hunger for God's word. That's one sign of life. We will thirst and hunger for God's word. like a baby hungering for water. I mean, for milk, mommy's milk. Yeah, friends, so, it's just bubbling over, because for so many years I had been never taught any of this. For many years I had not been taught any of this. It was just, you know, preached about sin, preached about how bad we are, and that we have to confess it, and we have to repent. But we were not told that we cannot do the thing. The flesh cannot please God, but Christ, it says that the law weakened by the flesh, but Christ came in the flesh and he condemned, and he did what was impossible by the law. That's Romans chapter 8. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And he so condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not walk according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And the way to walk by the Spirit is to walk in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water, the Holy Spirit will flow, bubble out of them, when we believe that he has done it all. And in him, and through what he has done, I have received forgiveness. I have received a new life, and I can live in that victory. Friends, may God bless you all. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for each and every person, that they might know this glorious gospel, that they may know you, may know what we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you reveal yourself to each person? Lord, I pray especially for those who, just like me, had been taught a false gospel for many years, who were not told your truth. Lord, would you reveal your truth to them? Lord, wherever they might be, would you show them, Lord, how much you love them? Will you show them, Lord, that they do not have to strive and try and be acceptable to God. They do not have to strive and try and change, because in their flesh they cannot do it. The old Peter cannot please God. But by believing in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I was born again. Your word says, unless a man is born again, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how? He said, just as Moses lifted up the snake. The people could do nothing. If they were bitten by the serpents, they were going to die. And just in the same way, we couldn't do anything to save ourselves. But you, Lord Jesus, was lifted up just like that serpent. And when we lift up our eyes to you and put our faith in you, we are healed from that bite of the serpent. We are healed from that Adam nature. And we receive a new nature. We are a new person with new desires. And we have the power of your Holy Spirit in us, that same, the power that raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. We have that power in us, the power to all that have received him. They have received power to be children of God. Lord, oh, reveal this to the people. Reveal these truths to the people, that they would truly know you and truly be born of your spirit. Lord, I ask this not because we deserve it, but for your name's sake. Amen.